Well, good afternoon, everyone, and a very warm welcome to our service today. It's great to have you with us, and we praise God for the sunshine, which has been really lovely to see as January is now gone. We finally got through it. Seemed like it lasted forever. So we're seeing the sun more, the daylight's getting longer, and the weather is improving, and so we praise God for that. We've got two special guests actually today who are going to lead our service in Verena. We've got Donnie McRae and Alistair Renton. They have come to tell us about the work of Good News for Everyone, formerly known as the Gideons. So we are I'm looking forward to hearing from them and hearing the word that they will bring to us from that. So please do pray for them and for their work and for the work of Good News for Everyone. If you'd like, there's a chance to give to the work of Good News for Everyone as well. We are so thankful for them coming and sharing with us today. A couple of notices for you before we begin. Just to say that this evening I'll be taking the service in Glenelg as usual. You're all welcome to come along. It's going to be our final service looking at the book of James. So if you want to come and hear how the book of James ends, we would love to see you in Glenelg. Next week we will be sharing in communion, so we praise God for the opportunity to do that. As usual, when we have communion, we ask the congregation if anyone is wanting to come forward to profess faith in Christ and become a member of the church. If anybody would like to do that, come and speak to myself or one of the elders, and we will talk you through the process. Just to note that there is no Saturday evening service. The elders have decided to hold off on those for a little while, and we'll only have them when we have visiting speakers for communions. You'll notice as well that we have on Friday this coming week the cool annual celebrations. This is going to be in the Dorney Hall at 7 p.m. Again, it's a good opportunity to come together to thank God for the work of Cool. We had a really encouraging vision day the other week, as we mentioned previously. So it's a good chance to pray for them and to praise God for the work that he has been doing in our area. They are looking for people to help provide baking, so if you're able to do that, please let Heather know. I'm sure she'd be delighted. Please do take a note of your bulletins and everything that is in them. There's a good few things happening, so please do use them. Without any further ado, I'll hand over to our illustrious guest, who will take the service from here. Thank you.
Thank you. Do you want me to wear this?
Probably, yes.
Can you put it on for me?
Sure. So it goes kind of like that. I'll try not to get in the way. That should be fine. And then there's a wee switch there. You'll need to flick it off when you sing, unless you want to. The whole everyone to hear you.
So. Very good. Maybe I don't need this. You never know. But anyway, I've got it on. Well, I want to say thank you. Thank you for allowing Donnie and I to be here and to share in your worship with you and to bring some information about Good News for Everyone. Share in the written word. Donnie is going to take over from me halfway through and bring you a message. And to share in the living word, the presence of Jesus with us. Our call to worship is from Isaiah 55. God's invitation. Come, all you who are thirsty, you who have no money, come buy and eat without money and without cost. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Turn to the Lord and he will have mercy. Turn to our God, he will freely pardon. God says, as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return without watering the earth, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desired and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. We're going to open our worship singing the Getty hymn, You're the Word of God the Father, and you'll notice in it the verse 1. In fact, all the verses deal with Jesus. The first verse looks at Jesus as Creator, the second as Jesus as Saviour, and the third as Jesus is the Victor over all things. So if you can, let's stand and we will sing this together. Let's pray together. Our God, our one and only, true and living triune God, we come to worship you this morning. We thank you for your presence with us. We thank you for arriving before us to welcome us. We thank you for your presence with us to encourage us, strengthen us, and challenge us. We thank you that you are the Creator of all things. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are almighty, perfect in love, in justice, in grace, in faithfulness. And we worship you, Lord Jesus, as we recognize that you hold all creation together, as we recognize that you, the living Word, came in flesh to show us who God is, and to die for us that we might know you as the one and only Saviour, vindicated by your resurrection. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, The one who takes of the written word of God and speaks to us through it, making it real through revelation. Through so much more, through conviction, through righteousness, guiding us into your truth. We thank you, Lord, for last week. We thank you for its opportunities, for its blessings, for its challenges. And Lord, we thank you for all those who encouraged us and helped us along the way. Heavenly Father, we come this morning to confess to you our failures. We recognize that we have said and thought things that were wrong, that we did and left undone those things that ought to have been better and ought to have given blessing and encouragement and ought to have also been those things that were right in your eyes, in your sight. Heavenly Father, we recognize that we have saddened you, we have offended you as we've rebelled against your plans and purposes and intentions for us. And so, Lord, as we come to you, we recognize that we can seek forgiveness through our repentance and through your offer of forgiveness through the death of Jesus. We thank you for his shed blood, and we ask, Lord, that you would forgive us now at this time. We thank you, Lord, for all the promise that you provide for us, that you would forgive us. We thank you that you are worthy. You are worthy of all our worship. You are worthy of all glory, all honor, all praise. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to say something to the young people. I've got one or two things here. You know what this is. Yes? You've seen it before. You will need one of these. The congregation will. You won't need a sandwich this morning. So a lot of you are picking one up. The Bible. Can any of you young people tell me what's it about? Why do we have a Bible? Yeah, tell me. You need to learn about God. Isn't that an excellent answer? We need to learn about God. And we can learn about God by looking at his word. And I've put up there for young people of all ages, like me, young people like me. And we all need to learn. We all need to learn so much. Tell me, do you read it? You do. And you enjoy reading it. Excellent. Isn't that good? Well, I want to encourage you in that. It's an important book. I'm going to look at mine at the moment. It's getting to be a bit tattered because it's been used a lot, but none of the pages have fallen out yet. But that might happen. This is God's Word, the truth. And, you know, many people value this book. They read it, they value it, they think it is, and find it to be helpful. But it is not believed by everyone. It's ignored, it's left unread, it's a problem to many people. They think it is a dangerous book in some parts of the world, so they are trying to get rid of it, to dump it, to burn it, but it's never managed to be got rid of, and that's important for us. And if people don't have this book, they don't know what God is saying to them. They can't hear the message that God wants to bring to them, that he wants to bring his love to them, that he wants to save them, that he wants to encourage them. And that's why good news for everyone is here. Because we want to see the Bible spread around, that the Bible is available to everyone. And So we go into schools and we give young people this little red book. And I'll say a little bit more about it later. But if you were in secondary school, any of you in secondary school, this one, you had one of these? Yeah, good. Have you read it? Oh, good. That's nice. All of it? Not yet? A little bit. Good. And if we're in primary school, we've got this that we can give out to young people. I'd just like to emphasize that those things are quite important because God's Word is vital and valuable. But let me tell you, there was a couple, Mr. and Mrs. Westgate, who were having a 50th wedding anniversary. How many years have they been married? No, you won't know. Yes? 50! Ah, didn't you do well? 50 years married, and they decided they wanted to put this Bible into a college of agriculture that was residential, that had 100 bedrooms in three blocks. And so they did. They spent their money, they got 100 of these, and they put it into the bedrooms. And after a little while, somebody came and said to me, "Here's one of your Bibles. It was in bits. It now starts in Genesis chapter 40. It finishes at 1 Thessalonians. The pages are all in a mess. In fact, it even was sought to be burnt by the person who had this in their room. They didn't think a lot of the Word of God, and it was just a complete mess. And they had been donated by Mr. and Mrs. Westgate because they recognized the value of God's Word. But let me tell you just one other little thing about this. Let's see what's still in it. What he did, this young man did, when he ripped it and tore it and took me about half an hour to put it back together again, it's still here. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." It also says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on this young man that wanted to destroy God's Word." And it says that "my Word will not return to me empty. Even though it was sought to be destroyed, it wasn't." Another bit that's still left in the book is here. It is Jesus talking. And he said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." And of course they haven't. They're still here despite the book being sought to be destroyed. And here's another little bit that it says. When someone had come to Paul and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Paul said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved." So let me just encourage you, if you've got a testament, if you've got a Bible, read it. Whether you're this high or this high, or whether you're in primary school or in your dotage like me, read it. Read it as often as you can. Read it daily. Put some of it in your memory. And for the young people, that will stand them in excellent stead for the rest of their life. So the Word of God is valuable to us. It speaks to us about what God wants us to know and allows us to come to know Jesus. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for these young people. We ask for your blessing to be upon them. We ask that they might be encouraged to read your word, to remember your word, and to follow your word. And we thank you, Lord, for all that it seeks to be and to do in our lives in these days. We ask that these young people will come to know you as their Lord and Saviour and serve you throughout their lives. Thank you, in Jesus' name. Amen. It is nice to have the sound of young people amongst us. We're now going to sing a psalm. The words are going to be on the screen, so you don't need to use a book. It's Sing Psalms 119 that we're going to look at. And just from what I've been saying to these young people, can you just notice some of these words? How can the young keep their life? How can the old keep their life pure? Never mind the young. All of us need this particular book and the effect and effectiveness of the Spirit of God in our lives to keep our lives pure. Notice what it says here. Your word. Now, there's the best book that we're going to get. God's word. I have hidden in my heart. There's the best place for it, to hide God's word in our heart. And we also find that it is important that we meditate upon God's ways that we find in his word. And that we won't, neglect God's word at all. So if you can, let's sing this psalm to God's praise.
How can the young
keep their
to keep me from all things.
I want to give you a presentation about good news for everyone. It used to be called Gideon's. For various reasons, the name had to be changed, and that is what it has become. We haven't got a lot of time, and I want to rush through a lot of what we do as an organisation, not only locally, but nationally and internationally. And I want to start off with what we do locally here. We go into schools. Flockton, yes, we've been into Flockton this year. Where did you get your testament? This year? No, a year or two ago, okay. Well, we were in this year giving out this little testament, the We Read Testament, and it's excellent because it gives daily readings. It also gives helps if you're in trouble in some way or another. There are pages and pages of different types of trouble you may be into and have, and it tells these young people where to go to find that. Of course, if they're younger than that, we can use the Discover magazine that has got a lot of stuff in it. It deals with the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation, but it focuses mainly on Jesus there. So that's something that we do. We also use this Bible by putting it into all sorts of places. We put it into hotels, we put it into guest houses, we put it into dormitories of various places, we put it into bed and breakfast places. And do you know, people have found this book in their difficulty, in their problem, in their intention to commit suicide, found it in their hotel bedroom, and have not only been turned to stop going ahead for suicide, but become believers. Without you and without me, without a believer, without anybody, God, by His Spirit, working through His Word, doing an amazing work in people's lives. We also go into care homes, and we can have this one. The problem is, once you want to get big print, you get a heavy book. And this is just the New Testament and Psalms. If we had the whole Bible, the people in care homes wouldn't be able to hold on to it. But that is available as well. And one other thing that we do is that we have got a QR code. And if you want to use the QR code, put that on your smartphone. You will have the whole Bible plus a whole lot of extra helps there, and answering questions and so on. So that is another thing that is available there. We also make use of God's Word in another way. We produce magazine style of some Psalms and the whole of John's Gospel, with a lot of nice pictures in it. It is across the whole of Britain, but we also do it in an A5, doesn't this work? Yes, an A5 version as well as an A4 version. And I have a copy of that here. There are different formats. This is a Scottish one, and it opens with Edinburgh Castle, and it is the same content. It just so happens that it's slightly more convenient in some circumstances to use that. Moving on from there, we also have cards, birthday cards, bereavement cards, and various cards. And when you to take one of these and use it, you fill in a happy birthday to little whoever it is. You send that off to them. In the same pack, you send a donation off to Good News for Everyone. And when they get that, they will send you another card to be able to send that out. So there are some cards on the table at the back. There's a whole lot of stuff on the table at the back that you can have a look at afterwards and deal with that. There's also testaments that we have, like this one.
always available in your pocket. Got all sorts of stuff, and able to be passed out to somebody. There was, they're so valuable to be able to do that. We also go to the Black Isle Show and give out literature there and talk to people, and we have some interesting conversations as well as much literature given out. And we also, well, we don't, but the organisation also goes to the Border Show, and we are seeking and waiting to get into the Royal Highland Show in time. How are we doing? This is terrible. Nationally, we're going to have to go faster. We also deal with the emergency services. There's firemen, and we have done that in Gaelough, but there's also ambulance and police and so on. And we also go into prisons and deal with the Bible there, and that has had an amazing effect on various people too. And we also deal with young people's organisations and provide testaments with their badge on the front, scouts, guides, that sort of organisation. And we also produce all sorts of testaments. The content, of course, you will realise is exactly the same, but the cover is personalised. And I gather Derby County Football Club is known by one here, but all sorts of clubs have had these visits and those things provided for them. There's also Hope magazine, and which I have here in a sports version. There's a football one, there's a rugby one, and there's a general sports one. Again, the content is the same as you get in the other ones, but the pictures are different. We also have a magazine-style Gospel of Luke, and some people have taken that and read it with another friend that isn't a Christian and worked their way through it, and it's quite a valuable thing to be able to do as well. Internationally, some work that we do there, the Word of God is available in many languages, and there's a selection of some languages that is around as far as that's concerned. We also produce the Hope magazine in various different languages as well, for different people. And notice that share word global doesn't trip off the tongue, but share word global was it started in Canada with the Canadian Good News people, and the UK and Sweden are also linked with them, and so we go to all sorts of countries across the world, to the Middle East, to India and Sri Lanka, to Kenya, and so on, that is there. Even Nicaragua, you will notice, has been in the news, and that's there. And here's Go Mission Trips, pictures from Kenya, from Peru, when these mission trips were there, and people from Britain and Canada and Sweden are there. Interestingly, a number of people in nearly every one of these trips become Christians on the street. As people are met, they are ready, waiting. Wouldn't that be wonderful to be able to go down Glen Elg Street and talk to somebody and they say, I'd love to become a believer? That seems to be happening in some of these, or many of these, Go Mission trips. Moving on to Eastern Europe, I can point out maybe to you, the first one was Serbia, which is in here. That was amazing how that started, but I'll need to come back in another year or two and tell you more about that. After Serbia, we went to Macedonia, then to Bosnia-Herzegovina, then to Montenegro, now in the Czech Republic, and some work in Ukraine. So that is an amazing amount of work that is being done, and much of it has been spearheaded by these two guys, Zelko and Dragan. They are employed by Britain. They are part of the British staff, but they are living, they are nationals out in Eastern Europe. And there's them with Serbian Hope magazines. There's 35,000 Macedonian New Testaments ready to be delivered. And I work in the Czech Republic. It was started in 2024. This work from Serbia only started since lockdown. So the whole of Europe, Eastern Europe, is very new work being done. And that is a picture that you can't see properly, because that is live at the front line in Ukraine, with a soldier in the trench with a Gospel of Mark that is being sent to, out to them. So much to be done. What could you do? You could become a friend. There are leaflets here for you to be able to fill in. We'd love you to become a friend. You can stand with us in prayer and giving. You can stand with us in helping in various ways, and you'll get a biannual magazine. You've got some samples back there? Good. There's some magazines there that will be samples for you. But we'd like you to fill one of these in. We'd love to have more friends and to be able to deal with it. We'd also love you to become a member of the branch. We're short, we're small, we could do with more people. You say we're far away from Gela, but that doesn't matter. We have people from various different places around us. We meet together on Zoom if necessary. So there's no reason why you can't be a member of our branch and come together and help us in events like this, but also in schools, and going to hotels to see if they have Bibles, if they need more Bibles, and so many other tasks that are important for us to do. And finally, some prayer points. Yeah, I said we go to Plockton and Gaelock. We can't get into Ullapool. We used to. There's a prayer point there that we need to be able to get into Ullapool to distribute these little red testaments. Also, for willingness to have Bibles and hotels and the witness at the Black Isle show and so on. And finally, we our work with ShareWord Global and Eastern Europe. And what about our ongoing individual personal witness? And overriding all of that, the work of the Spirit in prompting, encouraging, the reading of the Scriptures, and through that, in drawing people to know Jesus for themselves. All yours. Thank you very much, I trust that's been a useful introduction to it. If we were to come back in a year or two, we could fill in with other things. I have no idea what to do with this. But that's all yours.
Express our appreciation for the opportunity that we have to come here with good news. And we come now to a time of intercessory prayer. Let us pray together. Our Heavenly Father, this morning we thank you for the throne of grace, where we can come to a God who knows and a God who cares, come to a high priest in glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died and rose again, and now intercedes for us at the Father's right hand. And we thank you too that he is a God who hears, and a God who is able to answer our cry. And so with confidence we approach the throne of grace because of him this morning. We come, O God, today for the ministry of your word. This is the day that you have set aside, that we gather together as your believing people, and to seek your face and to worship you. For you are worthy of all praise and honor and glory when we think of the love that you have shown to us by sending your one and only Son to be our Saviour. We pray, O Heavenly Father, for the needs of our country. We pray for those whom you have placed in authority over us, and we particularly think of our King and our Prime Minister in Westminster and the troubles that he has been involved in this past week. We pray for wisdom for him in all of his cabinet and the government, in all that they seek to do, and that the laws that they pass will be beneficial to the people of this land. We pray, O Heavenly Father, for the devolved governments in Wales, in Ireland, and in Edinburgh. And we pray equally for wisdom for those people who represent us there, that they may be led of your Spirit in the ways that they legislate, that we will be blessed by it. We remember today the freedom that we have as we gather in this place. Lord, we too think of the places in this world where that freedom is not available. And Lord, we pray for those who are persecuted for their faith. As we think of the news that we receive through magazines from places like Nigeria and other places where to believe in the Lord Jesus is to put your life on the line, and it happens so often daily. We think too of those who are not able to be with us this morning, those who are ill at home or in hospital. We think that we pray for them. We've given you thanks for doctors and nurses and hospitals who care for us at this time. But Lord, we think of those who are perhaps able to be here or not in this place. We pray that your Spirit will speak to them and draw them to yourself. And we pray for our own witness as your believing people that would encourage them to come. So we bring them before you today. Heavenly Father, we pray too for ourselves as we come to worship, as we come to hear your voice speaking to us. Give thanks for all that we seek to do, and bless us. And we pray too for the different church services that will be held throughout our parish here, and we equally ask your help for them. Lord, we long for a day of your power, and Lord, we are the God who is able to do far more than perhaps we could ever ask or think. And so we commit ourselves to you and all that is done in your name throughout our parish. Lord, help us to hear your word. Help us to put it into practice. Let us not just be hearers of it, let us be doers of it too. And so we thank you for this congregation here, and we pray for them and for the work among the young people and all that they do. Hear our cry, exceed what we would ask, and we do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we continue to worship God and sing psalms, and we continue in Psalm 119, and verses 105 to 112. Oh, sorry. That's the evening service, sorry. Sing Psalms 18, verses 30 to 36.
For perfect is the
a shield and refuge is the
Well, if you've got your Bibles open with you, let us turn to God's Word in the book of Acts, and we're going to read in chapter 16. And of course, the lead up to this, and Paul and Silas and his friends were seeking God's will, and here we find the first time the gospel actually came to Europe, when Paul and his friends were led to Philippi in Europe. And we read on in verse 13 where it says, "On the Sabbath we went outside the city gate," that's the city of Philippi, "to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of these listening was a woman named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth from the city of Thyatira, who was a worshipper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. 'If you consider me a believer in the Lord,' she said, 'come and stay at my house.' And she persuaded us in. Once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. The girl followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, 'These men are servants of the Most High God, who are telling you the way to be saved.' She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so troubled that he turned round and said to the spirit, 'In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her.' At that moment, the spirit left her. When the owners of the slave girl realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, 'These men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice.' The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. Upon receiving such orders, he put them in their cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors opened, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, 'Don't harm yourself. We are all here.' The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' They replied, 'Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household.' Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his family were baptized. The jailer brought them out into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. May the Lord bless to us that reading of his word. Well, as you have heard, the presentation from Alistair about the work of on the objectives of the Gideons, or the good news for everyone. One of the main things that the Gideons want to do is to place the Bible into people's hands. They want them the Bible introduces you to the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Word. And in that Word, we find the living Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus as the Lord and Saviour, that is our purpose, to present that to people. And when people become trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, they become believers. And as believers, they in turn tell others about Jesus. And they can do this by what they do, what they say, and how they behave. And that is a word to us as believers, how we behave and how we say things. Because we can, through our behaviour, we can introduce the Lord Jesus Christ to others. And I want to see, I want to look at this chapter, a few verses that we read, and we see this quite clearly, how that happens. I'm sure you are all familiar with the encounter Paul had on his way on the road to Damascus, how Paul himself was converted, because Paul was a very anti-believer in his early life, and he was a very clever man. He was a Jew, and he knew his Old Testament scriptures, but he was very anti-Christians, and he was on his way to Damascus, and remember the light flashed on the road, and he fell to the ground, and he met with the risen Lord Jesus, and he was completely changed. And here we have him now doing what being commissioned by the Lord to go and tell the Gentiles, the non-Jews, about Jesus. And of course, when Jesus commissioned them to do that, he said to them, this is going to be a costly business, and you are going to experience great hardship to do that if you become my follower. And you have to bring the gospel before the people of Israel. But as you do, you will find out hardship. And we are seeing something here of the hardship Paul had when he went into Philippi. That was part of his commission, part of the thing that goes along with being a believer. You have to go through hard times. And we see something of that, how Paul suffered here in Acts chapter 16. We catch up with him, with Paul and Silas and his companion, seized after they had our visions from God, and they were led to Philippi in Macedonia. There Paul preached the gospel, and what happened? Certain individuals and the community at large were actually moved by it. And one thing we noticed as we read that chapter is that the individuals mentioned, Lydia in verses 14 and 15, and the young girl in 16 through 18, and the chief jailer in verses 25 to 34, they were all completely different individuals. Lydia was a businesswoman, a well-educated, quiet and reserved, a seller of the famous purple cloth that was produced in Thyatira. The Bible tells us the Lord opened her heart to respond to the gospel. Her conversion was quiet. It was completely undramatic. But on the other hand, the jailer, who was required to be a strong, tough character, as he had a physical demanding job, and so his conversion, to say the least of it, was rather a noisy affair. As for the young fortune teller, a slave girl, used and abused and taken advantage of by her owners. She had quite a struggle before she came through to the experience of salvation. And from these examples we learn that the Lord Jesus, the Lord's method for seeking men and women, young and old, vary according to the person actually concerned. Some quietly slipping into the kingdom of God, others struggling for weeks, months, yes, even years, to understand the demands the gospel makes before they respond to God's call. Others, as soon as they hear, they respond and are dramatically converted. There is no sovereign type or stereotype conversion. We are all dealt with as individuals by a loving and merciful God. So let us look for a few moments more closely at the conversion of the jailer in this story, as he is the one that we are told most about in Acts chapter 16. In verse 30, we are confronted by one of the greatest questions that is asked in the whole of the New Testament. A question that has been asked by many down through the ages. A question that has still been asked in our own day. And perhaps even someone here this morning is asking the same question. It is the words of the jailer, who at this point in his life was at his wit's end. And the question was, what must I do to be saved? And to understand the full significance of this question, let us notice the stages that appear to have taken place in the process of the rough jailer becoming a Christian believer. First of all, there was a jailer's conviction. Nobody ever turns to the Lord for conversion until he or she feels their need of being saved. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus tells a parable of a lost son who rebelled against what he thought were the constraints and restrictions imposed by his father on his home situation. So he demanded a share of his inheritance, packed his bags, and he went to find a better situation. He wanted to be freed, and his father let him go. However, it's not long before the inheritance he received is squandered. His friends have deserted him. His work is not very satisfying. He's feeding swine, and that must have been hard for a Jew to do. It's only then that this young man came to his senses. And what does he do? He sets off back to his father, the father's house, seeking and probably going to beg to be one of the hired servants. And he even prepared a speech on his way that he would say to his father. But what does he find when he returns to his home? It's a father waiting, yes, longing for him to return. Instead of becoming a hired servant, he finds forgiveness and restoration back into the family, not as a slave or anything else, or a servant, but a son and an heir. And you see, that is a very clear picture of mankind. Because of the rebellion of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, we have all sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. And as a result, we find ourselves in the far country, estranged from God, just like the son in the story in Luke. It's only as we come to the end of our tether that then we can be convinced that that broken relationship with our Heavenly Father needs to be repaired. And that can only be done as we come in repentance to Jesus, who through his atoning death on Calvary's cross made reconciliation for us possible with God. But sadly, many never come. They don't feel the need. After all, you don't go to the doctor unless you are unwell. And what they don't realize is that everyone has a terminal disease, and that disease is called sin, because we all die. And that is why we turn to God's word, which makes it clear that we need a Savior. A Savior God promised right back in the beginning in Genesis. And we know that he so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will never die. And so as we read the narrative, here we notice things that happen to make the jailer feel his need of a Savior by producing within him a deep sense of conviction. And this is aroused by the actions, I believe, of Paul and Silas, that turned his thoughts maybe to the message that actually brought them into the jail in the first place. And he probably would have heard of what the young lady had been saying about Paul and Silas earlier. But what really impressed him was Paul and Silas's witness in that jail. Surely their witness speaks to us who profess to be Christians. I wonder how you or I would react if we found ourselves in similar circumstances to Paul and Silas. And yet today, in many countries in the world, Christians are witnessing through persecution, and by their reactions, astounding things are happening throughout the world. You see, unbelievers, whether we think it or not, can be influenced by right Christian attitude and behavior. And that is always a challenge to us. Paul, sometime later, and of course he wrote many letters. He wrote letters to the Romans, but he also wrote a letter to the Philippians, to the church at Philippi, which was established by those new converts. And he says to them, "Now I know, brothers, what has happened to me has really serve to advance the gospel." And of course he's talking about all the hardships and all the troubles he had. And sometimes we can't believe that, why that should be, but that is the way it is. And you see that in Philippians 1:12. By the reactions of Paul and Silas as they prayed, as they sang hymns to God, all the other prisoners, what were they doing? They weren't complaining. They were listening, and the jailer heard all that was going on, and I believe his heart was being softened. He could not take it all in, how these men could do this, following the severe beatings they had just received in his own jail, and here they were singing praise and praying to God. You see, hard hearts can be softened and can be melted. On top of all that came an earthquake, And the fear, of course, that that generated also did something to the jailer's heart. And you can read in verses 26 and 27 how he reacted. And we see that the jailer was faced by imminent death because of that earthquake, because he thought if they lost any of the jail, the people who were in jail, he would lose his own life. And here he was in a situation facing eternity, unprepared to meet his Maker. Now, of course, there are many people today in that same position who don't feel their need of salvation, and they also need an earthquake to come into their lives to shake them out of their complacency. And I'm sure there's some of us here have known or heard of people who have become Christians through such earthquakes as serious illness, bad car accidents, sudden family bereavements, or other such crises that shake our domestic circumstances. You see, we have a God whose ways are not our ways, neither his thoughts our thoughts. A God, as the hymn writer puts it, moves in mysterious ways his wonders to perform, who uses seeming tragedies to shake us out of our complacency, to make us see how desperately we all need a Saviour. That's what happened at Philippi. By the way, Paul and Silas reacted after the earthquake, convinced the jailer that these men were different. They had something he had not got. And verse 28 tells us the jailer expected all the prisoners would have taken to their heels. But to his sheer amazement, they were all still there. And what is more, Paul and Silas were waiting to be of help to this man, to witness to him, and to tell of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Can you just imagine it? Prisoners willing to help their jailer. And so by their actions, this jailer was brought under a deep sense of conviction. And that was so great that it caused him to cry out in despair, "What must I do to be saved?" And the response that he got was, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved and your household." Now notice what Paul and Silas did next. They spoke the word of the Lord to him and to his household. How important it is for us to be taught the word of God in church, in our Bible studies, so that we progress and so that we mature in our faith. And faith, of course, comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. The jailer received instruction, and he was able to testify to his family how his life was changed. And Jesus tells us in Matthew 10:32, "Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven." And Paul, in his letter to the Romans, puts it this way, that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You see, when a work of grace has been done in a heart, we are compelled, convinced and compelled by the Holy Spirit to do just that. And that is what the jailer did as he enjoyed fellowship with Paul and Silas and his family. What a transformation of character that took place in this man. Verse 33, we read at that hour of night, after midnight, the jailer washed Paul and Silas' wounds and set a meal before them. This was further evidence of a work of grace having taken place in his life, because he had no thought of that some time before. He was asleep and dozing, listening to their singing, and he was quite happy to be their jailer. But a work of God, Spirit, had been done in his life. And so you can see the difference in how he behaved and what he did. He was now at peace with God. And to say the least, his experience was rather radical. As we have said earlier, every conversion is different, but the results of conversion are always the same. A complete change of life. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come, says Paul writing to the church at Corinth. And the jailer was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God as he met with Paul and Silas and his family in their home. In his own, and he shared the blessings he had received. And as they shared God's word together, what a situation that was. What a change that happened to the jailer. You see, there was a desire in his heart to worship. There was a desire in his heart to pray and to serve in fellowship. And that happens when we are born again. Naturally, we are born into a family, aren't we not? And we interact with that family. But when we are born again spiritually, we are born into the family of faith, the body of Christ on earth. Then we all have a part to play as we fit into this new fellowship. And as we have looked at this story about a jailer who lived a long time ago in the city of Philippi, I wonder, have you felt the Lord speaking to you if you are not yet a Christian? Have you felt that conviction in your heart that you need to ask the Lord Jesus into your life? As you hear him say, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest for your soul. And in chapter 6, verse 37, we have Jesus' words of assurance that if we do just that, he says, whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. And there is no one else we can go to, because salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to man by which we must be saved. Only Jesus. And we read in Acts 4:12 that same Jesus, the sinless Son of God, who loved us and gave his sinless life on Calvary's cross, was buried, was raised to life, and is now alive forever, and declares, whoever believes in him will have eternal life. Lord, grant us all today, may our prayer be, grant us the faith to believe and to know that joy that jailer at Philippi had, and let us go on to do and behave like he did in fellowship in his home and with others in the community. I pray that the Lord will bless these words to us and give us the faith to believe. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Above all, we thank you for the living word. And we thank you for the transforming effect as we believe in that in the living word that happens in our lives. And the peace and the hope that we have, a hope that the world cannot give and a peace that the world cannot give, that one day we will be with you, for you are the God who is coming back and to take your own to yourself. You have gone to prepare a place for them, and where you are, they can be also. Lord, what a glorious hope is ours if we put our trust in Jesus. Hear our prayer and help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We conclude our service by singing together in "And Can It Be That I Should Gain an Interest in the Saviour's Love?" Let us stand to sing.
He for me who was his friend.
From God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, rest and abide with us and those whom we love, today and forevermore. Amen.